It's the Congressional Corner. I'm Ian Pickus, filling in today for Dr. Alan Chartok, and our guest is Congressman Richard Neal of Massachusetts 1st District, a Democrat in office since 1989. Congressman, thanks for being with us, and thanks for talking to me this time.
Happy to do it, Ian.
Let's talk about the tensions with Iran as we sit here. What do you see, what do you know about the situation, and what are you hoping to hear from the administration?
Well, I'm hoping that certainly calmer passions will prevail and that we can find a diplomatic way past the current impasse. I think the tensions have been heightened. I think some of the evidence seems as though it's likely other parts of the evidence have yet to be confirmed. I think that this is an opportunity for the United Nations Security Council, I think, to play a responsible role here in trying to ease some of the tensions here. I also think that ratcheting back some of the rhetoric as it relates to the nature of the incidents would make some sense. And I think there's a role here for the wider community, particularly with the European Union.
There's been a lot of question raised about the credibility of the administration because of its ability to maybe not tell the truth on a variety of other issues. As it pertains to this particular foreign policy issue, is that a problem for the American people?
Yeah, I think you raise a really good point. That's the problem when you have this charged rhetoric every day from the White House, including the fact that they don't embrace factual analysis. And I think when you get to a potential crisis like this, then the public once again begins to wonder who's telling the truth. And I think that the constant effort that is made by the administration, the president's words in particular, heighten the tensions because one of the things that they do, they throw out rhetoric, they tend to create a sense of chaos, and then they walk it back the next day. And I don't think that that serves us well. But I also would point out that I think that the nature of the threat has to be taken earnestly. And the president's commentary in the past makes it very difficult in the eyes of the world, I think, to take some of the suggestions that he makes earnestly.
What about the role of John Bolton in all of this?
Well, I've always been a critic of John Bolton. I think that his Cold War views have been less than helpful across now decades. I think that there was a time when many Republican traditionalists isolated him and his views. He kept a perch on many editorial pages across the country where he took positions that were well outside the mainstream of what I thought at one time was a consensus about American foreign policy. His hardline positions, even when the facts don't square, seem to isolate him, I think, from, again, mainstream think tanks as it relates to foreign policy. And it also calls attention to the fact that one of the great accomplishments after World War II was this notion of a bipartisan response to threats across the globe. And then I think beginning with the second half of the Clinton administration, Republicans began to take a more isolationist view and a more confrontational view, only to discover that's how we ended up with, I think, the clearly miscalculated effort to invade Iraq. And I'm one of the few in Congress who not only voted against the war in Iraq, but got up and spoke against it at the time based upon what I thought to be faulty evidence. So here, in this instance here, as it relates to Iran and John Bolton, I think that we want to make sure that we're not being rushed headlong into another Iraq.
One more thing on this topic, and that's the question of Iran gaining access to a nuclear weapon. Now, the Trump administration obviously wanted us out of the deal struck during the Obama years. Now they've got the problem on their hands of Iran moving toward getting the nuclear weapon. So how should this be handled?
Well, I think that our security analysis indicates that Iran is still about a year away from being able to develop the sort of weapon that might pose a threat to that part of the world. They certainly are behind the North Koreans as it relates to the use of sophisticated weaponry of that magnitude. And I think that here it was a significant mistake by the administration to withdraw from the Iranian agreement. There are five guarantors of that agreement, and they all monitored Iran's activity. And I think that even in this instance here, you can see that they have been very careful in the words they've used as it relates to the nature of the threat.
Okay, let's go to another place now. Recently, you were named to lead the House Democrats Trade Working Group, and that group is going to be looking at the new USMCA, the new NAFTA. So what does that position entail, and why did you want to do it?
Well, actually, the Ways and Means Committee oversees trade policy as well as all tariff issues because tariff and trade are tax-related matters, and the Ways and Means Committee has responsibility for those issues. And what I think Speaker Pelosi is attempting to do, and I agree with her, is that she has tried to reach beyond the Ways and Means Democrats to simply choose some of those who in the past have been harshly critical of some of these agreements. And I think she wants to be able to say that we've exhausted every opportunity to question and to make the proposals that might improve the USMCA. Now, the options in front of the American people, I think, are pretty clear. One, Trump has threatened to leave NAFTA, and I don't think anybody believes that that is sound policy, and I'm not sure that he would follow through on that. Two, the status quo, and I think that everybody would conclude that after 25 years that it was time to review the North American Free Trade Agreement. And then the further question will be, will those who have in the past raised questions about trade be supportive of an agreement that acknowledges that there have been improvements, but they would like even more improvements? So the choice here, I think, is really between the status quo and a new and improved NAFTA. And I think that the working trade groups, including conversations with the United States Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, who is, in my judgment, doing a pretty good job on this, understanding that the responsibilities for trade are pretty complicated. And so I'm hoping that these trade group working committees will be able to resolve some of the questions they have. We're down to four issues. And the four issues are labor, enforcement, environmental concerns, and biologics. And I think that those are four areas of, at the moment, contention. And I hope that they will be resolved to the satisfaction of the skeptics. And I believe that there's an opportunity here for labor to play a significant role.
What's the timeline for reaching some sort of understanding?
Well, I hope that one of the issues that continues to roil the American economy are the use of tariffs and the threat of tariffs. And I think that the president's decision to use national security responsibilities to threaten tariffs and to use tariffs has been ill-considered. I think that Republicans would agree with me on that, that his kind of nilly-willy approach to using tariffs doesn't make a good deal of sense. And as I noted a moment ago, it has also, I think, caused huge consternation across the American economy.
I noticed in your explanation of this that you mentioned tariffs and taxes in the same breath. The president doesn't seem to share that position, but effectively, is this sort of standoff with Mexico represent a new tax for American consumers?
It is a new tax, and it's estimated that the president's tariff position clearly, in this instance, amounts to more than $400 per individual in America. Tariffs are a tax, and I think that the president's argument that he's the tariff man, again, is unwarranted and it's unwise, understanding that one of the reasons I think that markets continue to function is because there simultaneously have been a downward pressure on oil prices across the globe, which means that part of the charge that the consumer has, they're not feeling it quite as directly as they would if oil prices were at summer traditions.
That's Richard Neal, a Democrat from Massachusetts' 1st House District. He's also the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. He's been in office since 1989. Congressman Neal, thanks for your time. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about Robert Mueller.
Thanks very much, Ian.